Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, March 23rd. A little guitar intro there from my friend Brady Mosher, who's a guitar player here in the Dallas area. By the way, he plays on Friday nights over at NOLA. If you're in that, if you're in downtown Dallas. Well, today we're going to talk about several issues in the news. Obviously, the big two stories. The one out of London. I've got some thoughts on that. The rape in Maryland, the rape of that 14-year-old girl. I'm not going to focus so much on the rape, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about the state of public schools, which is what I really think the larger issue is. Over in the U.S. Senate, they're going through the confirmation hearings of the new Supreme Court nominee, and you can just smell the scent of Reed, of Harry Reid. I wrote a post about this, the partisanship that man left behind. There's going to be a vote, or there may not be a vote, on Obamacare later today. Frankly, my suggestion to the GOP is vote, get it over with, send it over to the Senate, and then look forward to a big reconciliation over in conference. But some people are holding out. I'm not exactly sure what for. And finally, the city of San Francisco. I guess they're going to really be tough with companies who work on that Mexican fence or the border fence with Mexico. Well, I've got a couple of thoughts about that as well. We remember on this day back in 1994, for those of you who follow Mexican politics, it was on this day in 1994 that Luis Donaldo Colosio, who was the candidate of the PRI, which means that he would have been elected in July 1994, he was leading in the polls. He was the candidate of the PRI, and he was shot on this day in 1994 and killed, and that had never happened in Mexico before. So that was quite a earthquake, if you will, in Mexican politics in 1994. We say happy number 74 to Lee May, who was a great first baseman in the 1970s. And also we remember on this day George the Boomer Scott, who was born on this day in 1944. He died in 2013. He was one of my favorite players of the 70s, also a first baseman and a pretty good player. Let's talk a little bit about what happened in Maryland. And as I said, I don't want to dwell on the rape. Obviously, that was horrific, horrible. There's no description for it. I mean, it was a couple of monsters who attacked this young 14-year-old girl. And, I mean, just it is undescribable. So I don't even want to go to what happened. But I think there is a larger question, which I think we need to consider as a country. And here I speak with a little bit of experience, because I came to the United States many years ago. I didn't speak English, and my brother and I, as well as our little sister, we were thrown into a school where we had to learn English. I mean, that was the objective. The objective was, hey, we welcome you, but you got to learn English, because that's the only way you're going to integrate and assimilate yourself in our society. And this is where I think a lot of these public schools are getting into trouble. As I understand, in this Maryland school district, there's something like 19 languages spoken. They have special classes for young people who don't speak English. They have 18-year-olds going to school, going to class with 14-year-olds, like was the case apparently in this terrible tragedy, because the 18-year-old doesn't speak English. So they have to take an 18-year-old and put him in ninth grade so that he can go to school. Well, this is insane. This is absolutely insane. And I think this is what the focus of all of this ought to be, not so much on the two, whatever you want to call them, dreamers or whatever you want to call them. These young men, in all fairness, are not representative of dreamers. Dreamers are not going around raping young girls. That's just the way it is. But these two young men represent or are victims of what I think is a terrible school policy of putting kids in a school system and not demanding from day one that they learn English and assimilate themselves. That ought to be assignment number one. You have to learn English and you have to get acquainted to the United States, and you have to understand that you're in a new country. We are happy that you're here, but you have to be assimilated. Now, there are some other issues, apparently with the 18-year-old who was here illegally. That's another problem as well. But I think that this illegal immigration and this madness of just dumping kids into our school district who don't speak the language and then not force these kids to learn English, I think that's a larger issue. And we need to have a debate about that in the country. We shouldn't have to apologize to people because we want people in the United States to speak English. We shouldn't have to apologize and say, well, gee, I'm sorry that we have to force you to speak English. No, we shouldn't apologize. We should be self-confident, upfront, and say, if you want to come here, you have to learn English because that's the only way you're going to get ahead in our country if you learn English. So to me, that's the real story of that incident in Maryland. What we are doing to these public schools, flooding them with kids who don't speak English, and then rather than forcing them to speak English, we start trying to accommodate all of these different languages. As I may have said a minute ago, there's apparently 19 different languages that are spoken in this school district. Well, that's just insane. That's just absolutely insane. There should only be one language spoken in that school, one language, and that's English. And if you want to speak something else, well, you can do that at home. But you don't do that in the classroom. In the classroom, we speak English. And that's the only way you're going to bring these people together. One language, one culture. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Geddes, Harpist, and I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Nola Brasserie Authentic Cajun and Creole Restaurant, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy jazz at 7:30 until midnight. So make your reservation today at 469-872-1820.
If you're in Dallas on Saturday night, that's the place you want to be, Nola, downtown Dallas. Great food, great music. My friend Carlos Geddes is playing there on Saturday nights. Well, now let's talk a little bit about what happened in London. Again, this is something that we've seen too much of. Here's a homegrown terrorist, a young man who was apparently radicalized right there in London. You know, they're not even going to the Middle East to get radicalized. They get radicalized right there in wherever, whether it's in the schools, in religious centers, wherever they go. They become radicalized. They hate the West. And then they take it out with actions like this, where you have a man with a knife and an SUV, and he can literally shut down a city. One man with an SUV and a knife can shut down a city. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And I will tell you something else, too. This really shows the fallacy of not having people with guns or not giving citizens the opportunity to have a gun. One person with a gun yesterday in London could have at least disabled or blown off a tire of this guy's SUV or take him out. One person with a gun, one citizen with a gun, could have done something to prevent this thing from getting bigger. I'm not saying he would have stopped everything, but he could have at least disabled the driver or the guy with a knife, whatever it was. So when you see these incidents in London where people are at the mercy of these lunatics, this is where the Second Amendment really becomes important, because here you have the opportunity to defend yourself, something that those poor people in London didn't have. People sitting in a hospital or dead or whatever it may be, some people even jumping into the river to save themselves. This is where the Second Amendment, I think, really becomes critical. And people who don't want me to defend myself, explain that to me. Because if I'm in that situation, I'm hoping I have a gun to stop this guy. That's the only defense I have. Calling the police is a wonderful thing, but the police cannot be everywhere, as we saw in London yesterday. I want to talk a little bit about an article that I posted at American Thinker this morning regarding what is happening in the U.S. Senate. You know, the U.S. Senate for a long time was considered to be this deliberative body where adults would conduct themselves in a way. It was supposed to be the place where you would cool off the passions. I mean, that's kind of the way it was described many years ago. You would let the people in the House scream at each other and get angry at each other over the popular passions. And then when it got to the Senate, it would sort of cool off and reasonable minds would look at the issue. But that's not the case anymore, as we're seeing with the confirmation of Justice or Judge Gorsuch. I mean, this has become a partisan joke. It is pathetic to watch Democrats, you know, digging up opinions that this man wrote 20 years ago and saying, well, 20 years ago, you wrote this. I mean, come on. I mean, that's just insane to do that. But that's happening because of the partisanship in the U.S. Senate. And we can say thank you to one person for that, and that's Harry Reid, who basically ran the Senate in a very partisan way as the majority leader. And he left this legacy, this scent, if you will, of partisanship that we see now in the U.S. Senate. And I hope Harry Reid is watching, because that's the institution that he left behind, a terrible place. They're supposedly going to take a vote today, or maybe they're not going to take a vote today on Obamacare. They have a deal, and I guess there's like 20 short last time I checked. They need 20 more Republicans. The issue is not, you know, it's not that 20 Republicans don't want to repeal Obamacare. It's just that they want to do something more. They want to go the distance, as some of them want to say. Well, I understand that. I can certainly understand that they want the whole thing at one time. The problem is that may not pass in the Senate because they're going to need 60 votes. So my suggestion to the GOP in the House is get something done today. Send it over to the Senate so that you can pass as much as you can this repeal of Obamacare, so that you can repeal as much as you can through deregulations and through reconciliation, and put something on the president's desk that way. Then you can come back later and maybe identify this area or that area. But I think it would be a big mistake to defeat this thing. It would be a mistake. It would be a defeat for the GOP that they don't need. And the media is going to jump on it and talk about how the GOP is divided. They never talk about how the Democrats are divided, but that's just another example of the media being the way they are. But the bottom line is, we got to get something done. We got to get something passed today, and I hope they can work it out either today or in the next couple of days. I think they can reschedule the vote, but I think the sooner they do it, the better it will be. One last thing, you know, I heard that the city of San Francisco is going to take, or at least some legislators in the city government of San Francisco want to take a very strong position against any company that works on building the fence, the U.S.-Mexico border fence. And they're going to say, well, if you work on that fence, don't expect to come to San Francisco and get any business. I don't know if this is ever going to pass. It's an idea that is being discussed in the city council. But I would like to ask the city council to show some intellectual consistency and say, not only are we going to deny business to companies that work on the U.S.-Mexico border, but we're also going to deny, or we're going to name persona non grata any politician who voted for the fence. Politicians like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, who voted for the fence in 2006 when they were senators, back then. I think that if they want to be consistent about this, if they want to be intellectually consistent, then I think they have to do both. They can't just say, we're going to go after the companies and not go after the politicians like Harry, Harry Reid as well, but Senator Barack Obama and Senator Hillary Clinton, who in 2006 voted for the fence. So show me some intellectual consistency there, San Francisco. Show me that you're really thinking about this rather than just taking cheap shots at President Trump with the border fence. Congratulations. Team USA made it last night. I never got into the tournament before. Excuse me. I never got into the WBC before. Always thought it was a bit of a waste of time. It was exciting. The game last night was very exciting. The tournament was pretty exciting. Congratulations to Team USA. I'm not sure if we should continue to have Major League players doing this. Frankly, I would rather have AA players, minor league players do it. But anyway, it was exciting last night. Congratulations to Team USA. And congratulations to Puerto Rico. They had a great series, too. They lost last night, but they had really a great series. Thank you, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.